Chapter 3. The embarkation deck of the Primarch Sword resounded with activity. Squads of Primaris Space Marines jogged into position in preparation to board heavily armoured gunships. Munition servitors lumbered between the Strike Force's vehicles, hefting shells and power packs into place with their servo arms, or hauling sloshing fuel bowsers. Helots hurried back and forth, bearing equipment, orders, and artifacts for their masters. Chaplain Demetris marched along the lines of warriors, leading them in chanting the chapter's rites of battle, while Cyber Cherubim fluttered through the strobing light, carrying censers which trailed thick incense smoke. All the bustle and activity was framed against the star-speckled darkness of space, visible through the deck's open blast doors, but held at bay by a shimmering force field. Lieutenant Cassian and Librarian Keratreus stood on an observation gantry, watching the final preparations.
"It appears you will get your war, Lieutenant," said the Librarian.
"You make me sound like some bellicose space wolf or Black Templar," said Cassian. "I'm not champing at the bit for bloodshed, Keratreus, but I won't shy from doing the Emperor's work, or from admitting it brings me satisfaction."
"Nor should you, Cassian," said the Librarian, with a faint smile. "But have a caution. I know that Captain Adrastian placed a substantial burden of responsibility upon your shoulders. Be sure you don't allow it to force your hand."
"I don't deny I have much to prove," said Cassian.
"To Adrastian? To the Primarch?"
"To yourself?" asked Keratreus.
Cassian nodded.
"That, too. This war has raged for 10,000 years, my friend, and we are latecomers. We have not shared the burdens nor endured the hardships that others have. There are those even amongst the armies of the Indomitus Crusade who still doubt us for what we are."
Keratreus chuckled softly.
"My brother, look at whom you are speaking to," he said. "Since the earliest days of the Imperium, there have been voices raised against my kind. Witches, they call us, unnatural and dangerous. That has never stopped the Librarians of the Space Marine chapters from using our powers to aid our battle brothers, shield the Emperor's servants, and slaughter his enemies."
"A wise comparison, brother," replied Cassian. "One I hope we can live up to."
"We shall soon see. It appears that Demetris has concluded his prayers."
"Good. Then in Gilliman's name, let us be about it."
Cassian stepped up to the railing and keyed his vox grill to amplify his voice.
"Brothers," he said, voice booming through the embarkation deck. "Once again, we prepare to do battle with the dark forces of chaos."
His warriors cheered.
"Within minutes, the Primarch's sword will enter high orbit above Kalides Prime's. Though atmospheric conditions are poor, from long-range auspects and oracular interrogation, we can surmise that the planet has been invaded by the heretic Astartes. Brothers, we face the Death Guard."
A murmur ran through the ranks at this.
The Death Guard were one of the original traitor legions. Ancient warriors, steeped in corruption and seething with the power of chaos. This would be a hard fight.
"We have detected the wreckage of several Imperial Navy warships scattered through the planet's upper atmosphere," continued Cassian. "We have also marked warp translation signatures that suggest where our enemy's craft came and went, leaving us with orbital supremacy. Moreover, the capital city's astropathic fortress remains intact, and there are at least some Imperial ground forces still engaging the invaders. Do not make the mistake of believing that any of this will make our mission easier. The Death Guard seem to be warding themselves from our auguries in some fashion. Strategic intelligence is thus fragmentary, but hints at enemy numbers substantially greater than our own. Also, the foe has control of the capital city's orbital defense batteries. You have all been briefed upon the plan. We will execute a combat drop to capture the orbital batteries, while Shipmaster Aether uses starship wreckage to shield the Primarch's sword from any return fire. Once the batteries are ours, we will bring the strike cruiser lower to provide supporting bombardments, link up with any localized Imperial forces, and drive for the Astropathic Fortress. We will do this swiftly, before the enemy can marshal their strength, and we will do it in the name of the Emperor and the Primarch.
For the Emperor! Roared his warriors. For Gilliman!
Inceptor Sergeant Palandris depressed a runic stud in his gauntlet, causing a ceramite heat shield to slide down over his helm. He flexed his limbs, feeling the motor bundles of his Mark 10 Gravis power armor respond smoothly, before depressing his heels and causing his servo stirrups to give, then resist. He interrogated his weapon feeds, ensuring they were clear of obstruction and their ammunition counts were at maximum.
Final checks, brothers,
he voxed, casting an eye over his two comrades as they underwent their own pre-drop rituals. The Inceptors looked unwieldy in their heat-shielded armor, with their heavy jump packs and their guns underslung on their forearms. Palandris knew better. His battle brothers confirmed their readiness, and Palandris nodded in satisfaction, activating his helm's drop protocols and watching as wireframe flight vectors overlaid themselves on his vision. He glanced across at Inceptor Squad Thaddeon, their comrades in arms for over a decade now, readying themselves nearby.
"Ready, brother?" asked Palandris over the vox. "To slaughter heretics?" asked Sergeant Thaddeon. "Always." "For the glory of Ultramar, then," said Palandris. "Inceptor squads Palandris and Thaddeon commencing atmospheric insertion drop in 3, 2, 1."
Feeding power through his armor's systems, Palandris began a pounding run across the embarkation deck. His brothers followed, their steps becoming bounding springs as servo stirrups took their weight and propelled them forwards. The Inceptors engaged their jump packs, blue firelight flaring within their jet nozzles, and led by Palandris, they accelerated towards the lip of the embarkation deck, the void of space and the immensity of Kalides Prime yawning dizzyingly below. The Brink came up to meet Palandris, and he leapt, propelling himself through the deck's force field and into the cold emptiness of space. In a moment, the din of gunship engines and autoloaders was gone, replaced by the sound of his steady breathing, the dull thump of his twin hearts, and the clipped vocalizations of the squad vox. He fed power to his thrusters and tucked his limbs in at his sides as he angled himself towards Kalides Prime and began his descent.
"Squad report," he said.
His battle brothers voxed in, confirming that they had successfully exited the Primarch's sword and were following him in towards the thermosphere.
"Sergeant Thaddeon," asked Palandris. "We're away," came Thaddeon's voice. "Smooth deployment. Coordinates locked in. We will follow you down." "On wings of fire, brother," said Palandris.
With a few quick bursts of thrust, he turned his arcing flight into a level descent, watching the runes designating his squadmates as they all settled into their drop vectors. Beneath him, Kalides grew larger by the second, while the starfield slowly dimmed. At his back, the Primarch's sword descended more slowly, gunships beginning to boost out of its launch bays as it came. The gunships would be the second wave. The Inceptors had the honor of being the first.
"Entering upper atmosphere in 5, voxed Thaddeon. "Brace!"
Palandris felt his armor's servos stiffen and his posture lock as its machine spirit baffled him against the impending gravitic forces. He muttered a prayer for the Emperor to watch over him, then flames were licking across his armor's plates as he began re-entry. Thermosensors registered steep spikes, and a bone-deep shuddering ran through his body, fierce enough that a lesser being would quickly have been rendered unconscious.
"Watch your angles," he voxed. "Brother Orlando, adjust 0.2. You're a little steep."
Flames were blazing around him now as he punched down through Kalides' atmospheric envelope. Thermic warnings continued to ping. He felt his momentum and weight increase as the planet's gravity reached up to take him in its embrace, and a constant roar filled his senses. Palandras felt no fear. This was what he was made for. The fires died in an instant, replaced by the vertiginous sensation of full gravity and the churning mass of the planet's polluted storm clouds rushing up to meet him.
"Reading high winds within the storm system," he voxed.
"Acknowledged," replied Thaddeon. "Detecting trace malefic energies within the clouds."
"Confirmed," said Palandras. "Intone the litany of denial, brothers. Gird your souls."
The Inceptors streaked down like missiles, maintaining a grim chant as they punched into the cloud layer. Palandras gritted his teeth as visibility dropped to virtually nil and furious crosswinds pummeled him. Greasy rain streaked the lenses of his helm, and as green-tinged lightning flashed around him, he thought he saw the suggestion of leering visages swirling hugely amidst the thunderheads.
"Keep your coordinates locked, brothers," he ordered. "Trust in the machine spirits of your armor. Follow drop vectors and be ready for combat landing in 180 seconds.
Lightning flared in strobing blasts. The clouds formed fanged maws the size of haplocks that yawned wide and closed over them. Thunder crashed and the winds howled, while storm rain hammered the Inceptor's armor with the force of shotgun pellets. Through it all, they held their course, and as his helm altimeter spiraled downwards, Palandras unlocked his drop posture and roused the wrathful machine spirits of his assault bolters.
"Breaking cloud cover in 3, 2...
Palandras shot through the last wisps of cloud, and the ruined cityscape of Dustrius was revealed below him.
"The city is in an advanced state of deterioration," he voxed, opening his channel to the entire strike force. "Visual confirmation. Large portions of Dustrius have been bombarded from orbit. Damage and all specs readings suggest a mixture of conventional munitions and malefic contaminants. Malefic contagion levels high throughout the city. Confirming status of astropathic fortress. It appears intact and shielded at this time. Orbital batteries sighted on southern edge of the city. Coordinates 11731,
added Thaddeon.
Orspex reads enemy presence confirmed on site.
"Commencing final approach," said Palandras. "Emperor, guide our aim."
With a thought, Palandras increased the thrust from his jump pack, accelerating into an almost suicidal dive. As he did so, lights flashed amongst the batteries below, muzzle flare sparking amongst metal gantries and illuminating the flanks of huge las silos.
"They've spotted us," said Thaddeon.
"It won't save them," said Palandras.
Shots whipped around him. Flak shells burst in clouds of dirty smoke, shrapnel sparking off his armor plates. Warning chimes sounded as threat recognition runes blossomed across his field of vision.
"Landing zone confirmed," he said,
jinking to evade a sawing line of flak fire.
"Roof of Generatorum 7 Alpha. Light enemy presence. Deploy on my mark."
Palandras and his warriors streaked downwards at punishing speed, using their sheer momentum to confound their enemy's aim. The Generatorum swelled before them, a blocky building nestled amidst the looming barrels of the las silos, its flanks thick with industrial piping and its roof a flat expanse dotted with huge cooling vents. Enemy warriors were visible between them, ragged human cultists who pointed and screamed as they sprayed autogun fire skywards. Palandras waited until collision alarms were shrilling in his helm, then triggered his landing thrusters. Retro rockets fired with body blow force, spinning him in the air so that his feet were pointed groundwards. His heavy jump pack howled as it arrested his descent, and he hit the Generatorum roof with enough force to crack the ferrocrete, his servo stirrups absorbing the shock that would otherwise have broken every bone in his legs. Palandras swung his assault bolters up, ballistic cogitations and targeter runes dropping into place over his vision. He depressed his firing runes and sent a hail of mass-reactive bolts thumping into the cultists on the rooftop. The bolt shells leapt away on blazing propellant trails, and as each one punched through flak armor and flesh,
The microcogitators built into their warheads detected sufficient surrounding mass to trigger detonation. Four luckless worshippers of Nurgle exploded in as many seconds, the diseased blessings of their god powerless to save them.
"For the Emperor!" roared Palandrus.
His brothers slammed down beside him, their fire joining his own. A hurricane of bolt shells whipped outwards, the Inceptor's firing solutions perfectly cogitated to prevent them from catching each other in their overlapping fields of fire. Cultists burst one after another, blood spraying across the rooftop, severed limbs spinning away. Skulls detonated, bone shrapnel flew. In under 20 seconds, Palandrus and his two battle brothers killed all 30 of the Chaos cultists occupying the rooftop. Their enemies' ragged fire barely scratched their armor.
"Squad Palandrus, drop insertion successful," voxed the sergeant.
"Squad Thaddeon, drop insertion successful," echoed his comrade.
Palandrus glanced over at a shuttle pad some 100 yards to the east. Thaddeon's squad had landed there and had slaughtered their enemies with little resistance.
"Well done, brothers," voxed Lieutenant Cassian. "Dropcraft on approach. Commence stage 2.
"Confirmed," replied Palandrus.
A spread of runic designators lit up on his auspecs, each one indicating a flak battery that could pose a risk to the Ultramarines' gunships even now streaking down through the cloud cover overhead.
"Good hunting,"
foxed Thaddeon, before he and his squad lit their jump packs and boosted away from the landing pad. Their guns roared as they sighted more enemies to slaughter.
"And to you, brother,"
said Palandrus, igniting his own rockets. He leapt skywards, his brothers close behind, soaring clear of the Generatorum and arcing down towards a nearby blockhouse. Palandrus had a fleeting glimpse of the ferrocrete roadway between the two buildings as he passed over it. He spotted more cultists dashing along it, yelling and pointing upwards. He slammed down on the blockhouse roof. Ahead of him, he saw a bulky flak cannon emplacement, its barrels aimed at the heavens, and a grey-fleshed servitor wired into its flank. With a press of his firing runes, Palandrus annihilated the servitor in a spray of bolts. His brothers added their shots to the fusillade, reducing the anti-aircraft cannon to sparking wreckage.
"Life signs approaching," said Brother Donatus. "One floor down."
"Dispersal pattern," ordered Palandrus.
His battle brothers redeployed in jet-assisted leaps, forming a semicircle around the exit hatch atop the roof. The hatch swung open with a clang, and the first cultist spilled upwards. Palandrus had a fleeting impression of rag-wrapped features, yellowed eyes, and disease-bloated flesh before the Inceptors blew them apart. More of the enemy spilled onto the rooftop, only to be blinded by the spraying viscera of their comrades. Bolt shells drilled into their bodies and exploded, slaughtering them wholesale.
"Press the attack,"
ordered Palandrus, and he and his warriors closed up, hosing fire down the stairway below the hatch. Cultists screamed in terror. Most of them died in droves, packed in and unable to escape, before the last of them turned and fled, chased by roaring bolt shells.
"Enough," said Palandrus. "Relocate."
His squad leapt again, dropping from the rooftop of the blockhouse into the square below. Another flak emplacement stood here, surrounded by buildings and flanked by statues of imperial saints, now furred with mould. Palandrus's warriors blitzed the cannon with fire.
"Gunships inbound," voxed Thaddeon.
Palandrus looked skywards and saw Ultramarines craft sweeping down through the clouds like vengeful angels.
"Three more emplacements to eliminate," he said. "Resistance negligible."
"Moving on," said Thaddeon.
At that moment, the distinctive roar of bolters echoed across the square. The shells struck Brother Olandro, tearing open his chest plate in a gory spray.
"Death Guard!"
roared Brother Donatus, raising his assault bolters and letting fly even as Olandro's body crashed to the ground. The Plague Marines strode into the square, bolters up and firing. They were abhorrent, their dirty green power armor thick with rust and seeping sweat.
Gurgling tubes punctured their forms, and plague flies swirled around them.
"Unclean filth!"
shouted Sergeant Palandris, leaping aside on a jet of flame as he opened fire. His shots hammered the nearest plague marine, staggering the monstrous warrior and cratering his power armor. Yet the heretic didn't fall, instead giving a gurgling laugh and returning fire. Bolt shells chased Palandris through the air, several rounds ricocheting from his armor with punishing force. He landed and leapt again, still firing. More shots struck the trudging plague marine, punching through his cracked armor plates and detonating within him. Filthy gore splattered the square as the Death Guard warrior's torso was blown apart. Still he kept firing.
"Gilliman's oath!" cursed Palandris. "These heretics are nigh invulnerable!"
"Enough bolt shells will kill anything, Sergeant," said Donardus fiercely as his stream of shots took off one of the plague marine's heads.
The heretic's body staggered several more paces, Bolter still firing wildly, before toppling onto its side.
"True words, brother,"
said Palandris, unleashing another salvo and snarling in satisfaction as his target finally collapsed, dead. The last two plague marines kept advancing and firing, but they were outmatched. Weathering their fire, the two surviving inceptors poured shots into the traitors until they were nothing but twitching corpses.
"Heretic filth,"
spat Brother Donardus, voice thick with disgust.
"Alandro was thrice the warrior any of these unworthy things were."
"Focus, brother," said Palandris. "We will mourn Alandro later. For now, we have a beachhead to secure."
Rune marking the position of Alandro's fallen body for the chapter's apothecaries, Palandris selected his next target and engaged his jump pack. Meanwhile, the Ultramarine's dropship swept in to land, shrugging off the last desultory streams of flak fire as they delivered infantry, battle tanks, and dreadnoughts into the fight. The beachhead was as good as secured, and soon the Ultramarines would take the fight to the Death Guard. In the meantime, Palandris would avenge his fallen brother in heretic blood. Far across the city, strange figures stirred within the banquet chamber of a ruined manse. Lithe forms moved through beams of weak daylight, treading with a fluid grace that was entirely alien. The thick dust barely stirred at their passing. Sitting in their midst, their leader raised her head and closed her eyes, reaching out with senses beyond those of the mortal flesh. She breathed deeply and nodded to herself.
"They have come," she said,
her voice musical and lilting. She rose from her cross-legged pose, the runes on her armor glowing softly, and her long cloak flowing around her like water.
"It is time."